Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. What the heck is going on out there in Big 12 Nation? My goodness, do we have some storylines. Give me 1 second, let me get the sound check and everything going, and then I'll get going here. So give me 1 second, guys. All right, guys, sorry about that delay. Wanted to make sure, let everybody know we were live. So let's talk about this weekend. First, let me just get Kansas off my chest. My God, Kansas, poor Kansas. I had you guys winning at least 3 games this year. I thought you could at least win 3 of the out-of-conference games, or all 3 of the out-of-conference games, or at least try and beat the out-of-conference games in Baylor and get 4 wins this season. And I would have chalked it up and said, okay, give David Betty a 5th year. But my goodness, guys, Nichols stayed at home. Really? Really? Nichols stayed at home. Then you go on the road to Central Michigan, which is not a bad MAC school, which is a mediocre MAC school, actually. So they're known for beating bigger schools or competing with bigger schools. So I don't even know if Kansas will win that game. Baylor's better this year, and I think they have to go to Waco to play Baylor. So I don't think Baylor's going to lose that game either. So right now, unless something drastic changes, Kansas is looking at an 0-12 season. And I've said give coaches 4 years, but if they go 0-12 this year, I think it's time for them to go out and look for somebody like Ty Graham, Les Miles. If Bob Stoops is staying retired, let him stay retired. There's a couple other good names that are off the market. Oh, maybe a Butch Jones. But there's a couple of good names on the market that could be picked up. That could take that Kansas job. And at Kansas, what you need to try and do, honestly, is to build on this. Get 3 FCS teams. I don't care if people say, oh, you're not playing. You get 3 teams that you know you have a great chance of beating your first 3 games. Those are 3 of your home games, period, no matter what. And then every year, try and start beating Iowa State, Kansas, or Baylor. And Kansas State is going to be hard to beat at Kansas State, but when you get Kansas State at home because it's a rivalry game, I give Kansas a chance to edge that and win in rebuilding mode. So at some point in time, get 3 cupcake teams and get three teams in the Big 12 you can beat, and try and just get 6-6 and get bowl eligible and get bowl eligible until you can get better and better, like you did with Mark Mangino. You shouldn't have fired him in the first place. You didn't give Turner Gill long enough time. Charlie Weiss, I don't know what happened with that situation. This guy you tried to give all 4 years, and it's just not working. However, it's only 1 week, and I hope they get it together. My goodness, Kansas. Come on. Beat the FCS team at home. Can you do that? Please. My goodness. All right, let's get the University of Texas. So I listen to various radio stations in various markets and just to see what the climate is, see how people feeling, what's going on, how they felt about the Big 12 weekend. And people in Austin and in Texas in general who are University of Texas Austin Longhorn fans are livid. I mean, they are hot. They are pissed. They are tired of hearing it. I'm not trying to laugh. I'm just trying to bring a sense of, you know, comical relief to the situation because people are thoroughly pissed off in Austin. I listened to their radio show, 104.9 The Horn. A lot of them talk about Sam Ehlinger versus Shane Buechel, how he would only keep in a fifth-year running back, but he wouldn't put a freshman running back in, but he won't do the same thing with the quarterback. Then they're getting on him because he told his players to read Mice of Men or Mice and Men, whatever the book is. Somebody correct me in the comment section on the Big 12 Nation page. I don't know what the damn book is and how to say it right, but I'm pretty sure everybody knows what book it is. I think we back in the day, everybody probably had to read it in high school to some extent. It was in that curriculum with Shakespeare and what's the daggone thing called where the girl walked around with the red thing on her shirt all the time. I can't think of it. The Scarlet Letter or some stuff. Let me know if I'm right. Anyway, I'm sounding like Tom Herman going down this philosophical English poetry type of thing, ordeal. So people are saying just read a book on how to win college football games. I see where people's concern is that when you look at this Texas team, guys, the schedule doesn't get any easier. I mean, yes, they'll beat Tulsa, hopefully. But, man, man, could you guys understand what would happen if Texas lost at home to Tulsa this week? These people's head would explode around here. Oh, my God. These people would be infuriated if they lost. Tom Herman would have to leave town. He would have to leave town. I'm not even going to joke about that because that's not even funny. It's not funny at all. People would – it would be scary out here. Anyway, after Tulsa, they got USC at home. Then they got TCU at home. I believe they have one more home game after that. Yeah, I'll tell you guys right now exactly who they have at home. TCU at home, going the road to Kansas State, not going to be easy. Obviously, the Texas State Fair game, Oklahoma, Baylor at home, they can win that. At Oklahoma State, winnable game, but they've struggled at Oklahoma State. West Virginia at home, West Virginia is damn good. At Texas Tech is about even with them. At this point in the season, Iowa State at home, winnable game, at Kansas, winnable game. So I see one, two, I see three, Tulsa. I see four, maybe, guaranteed wins. And they don't have any wins right now. So for them to win seven or eight games this year, they're going to have to do some real stuff. They're going to do some real damage. If they beat USC at home, that'd be a big deal. That would turn the program around. But I don't know if they're going to be able to beat USC at home if they can't go on the road and beat Maryland. And the reason I say that, guys, think about this. Ohio State just beat Oregon State 77-31. When Maryland plays Ohio State this year or Michigan State this year, y'all know that score is going to be like 60-10 or something ridiculous like that. And if Texas can't beat them just by a field goal or even by 1 point, what chance do you think they are going to have at playing and beating USC and TCU and all these other teams in Oklahoma and all these other teams in the Big 12, like what chance do you think they have, guys? They're not going to have a chance. Wait till y'all see the score when Ohio State plays Maryland this year. When y'all see Ohio State play Maryland this year, y'all going to be like, "Oh my God. We can't even think about a national championship level at this point or getting in the top 25 when we can't beat a team by 1 point and they're scoring 60 points on them." So it's just a reality check. I told everybody don't be fooled. I said Texas should win this game, but I said I wouldn't be surprised if they lost it. I wasn't one of the people like, "Oh, it's no way." I wouldn't be surprised if they lost it. On Oklahoma has UCLA at home this week. UCLA did not look good against Cincinnati. I believe Oklahoma wins this game by 2 or 3 touchdowns unless Chip Kelly figures something out and his offense gets to clicking already. And I can't believe he's benching that kid, Devin Monster, already. So, unbelievable. But Oklahoma should be good. And if anybody saw what they did to FAU, man, I feel bad for Lane Kiffin. He had a pretty sourpuss look on his face after that whooping because it was supposed to be like 52-31, but instead it was a lot worse than that. And I think that was his word. But I mean, to Lane Kiffin's credit, I mean, it's not the worst butt whooping he's took, or if it's the worst butt whooping as a coach he's took, I mean, doesn't mean he won't win the conference he's in. I mean, he's playing against elite athletes at Oklahoma. Oklahoma is super legit. There's no question about their legitimacy. Everybody around the country, you know, expects them to be good. And shout out to Baker Mayfield. Did a great job on Hard Knocks. I'd catch Baker Mayfield all the way up. Was just a great all-around summer for Baker Mayfield. I know he's not happy. He's a starter. Not a starter, but we'll be all right. Hang in there, and you'll be fine. But, yeah, Oklahoma destroyed them 63-14. We'll see what they do with those guys. Now, let's talk about Texas Tech. With Texas Tech, guys, it was frustrating because, first of all, Ole Miss came out blazing, and they lit Texas Tech up immediately. And I picked Texas Tech to win this game because I thought that it was just a year where Cliff Kingsbury and the boys are just going to come out and finally going to be on point. And, I mean, congratulations to one Big 12 team for whooping an SEC team. Let's just say that. Great job, West Virginia. Yeah, I know on my podcast I said that I'll have to see what they do against Tennessee and those other schools and wait when they play Oklahoma. But, man, oh, man, if West Virginia stays like that and they go undefeated, I think Alabama has a problem. I guarantee you Alabama won't beat Tennessee 40-14. I guarantee you that, guys. So if West Virginia can stay the course, they could be trouble. If they can beat Oklahoma, if they can beat TCU, West Virginia could be trouble nationally. So I can't wait to see what actually happens. But congratulations to them. Dana Holgorsen done a great job, and I really hope that these people give him, you know, some years because I know people are really upset that they haven't been competing for Big 12 titles and they've just been going to bowl games. Now, if anybody knows, TCU beat Southern last week 55-7, what we expected. This week they have their rivalry game versus SMU over in Dallas. And then the next Saturday, guys, is when they will take on the Ohio State University. And I don't think Urban Meyer will be back yet. So that one will be intriguing, knowing how Gary Patterson's defense is. I am guarantee you Gary Patterson doesn't let 77 points get scored on. It'll be a tough game, but, you know, 77 points, I don't think so. I doubt that. So we got 2 weeks for that matchup, guys. Kansas State has Mississippi State this week. Everybody knows Kansas State is a great schedule. I mean, is a great football team. And honestly, I was listening to the SEC Network, Big 12 Nation, and they were saying that this is a big game for Mississippi State because their new coach and their new situation. And you'd be surprised. Most people have Kansas State favored to win this. A couple years ago when Auburn was ranked in the top five, they barely got out of Manhattan. I think that offensive coordinator, who's now the head coach of Mississippi State, he's smart. But I think Bill Snyder will find a way to just run the clock out on him. I think he'll outsmart him, and he won't have enough time on the field if they can do what they're supposed to do. I'm really concerned about it, but I'm really not at the same time. So I really hope – I don't know. I really hope Kansas State wins this because that'll be 2 weeks in a row that we've gotten an SEC team. And, you know, last week it wasn't good because Kansas State barely escaped South Dakota or South Dakota State, whichever one they played. They only won 27-24, and I think it's because they were looking ahead to this one. And don't forget, this is 11 a.m. kickoff time. So, you know, I'm going with K-State, man. I'm acting a little nervous and anxious, but I'm going with K-State. I think they have the right tools to beat Mississippi State. It's a big game. Even people in the SEC are worried about it. So we'll see. But I'm not going to undermine that guy, that offensive coordinator. He was at Penn State putting up all those damn points for a reason. So I'm actually pretty nervous that he can light Kansas State's defense up. But if they stick to the game plan, we'll see what happens. This Saturday, Iowa State gets on the field, hopefully for the first time. As you guys know, last weekend it was postponed due to the weather, lightning, raining, and all that other stuff. So people in Ames, Iowa, are probably anxious to get this season kicked off. And right after that, they got to turn around and play those Oklahoma Sooners after they play Iowa. So they didn't get a luxury of a cupcake game this year, which is fine. Matt Campbell's doing the right thing by building this program. Now, let's get back to Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury has got to somehow put together 7 wins this year. People are not happy right now with the situation at Texas Tech. When you look at all the message boards, when you look at all the YouTubes, when you look at all accesses, when you look at all the behind the scenes, all they're talking about is one more year or when they fire him or this or that. Now, that being said, Coach Kingsbury will get another job, no problem. He'll get an OC job. He will get what do you call that? He'll get another head coaching job, maybe at a smaller school or at a non-Big 12 school. But right now, he needs to win at Texas Tech. And I'm hoping he wins 7 games and he needs to get 8 with a bowl game. Because I think I started it three, four years ago, and I said by now, Texas Tech should be where they need to be at as far as top 4 of the Big 12. We got 10 teams. Baylor's went down. TCU's went down a little bit. Texas is down. I mean, there's a lot of schools. Kansas State is where they're supposed to be at. Kansas is still down. You know, everybody is where they're supposed to be at. Oklahoma State is where they're supposed to be at. So Texas Tech at this point should be able to be in the top 4. Season is just starting, but defense made some stops in this game. Offense scored some points, but then there was a lot of times where offense just couldn't score, and I don't get it. If we're going to rely on that offense, y'all got to find a way to put points on the board. Y'all got to find a way to score in the red zone. Every year at Texas Tech, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks. Nobody knows the starter. It's got to get better out there in Lubbock. And I'm not putting pressure on Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's a great coach. He'll have another job if he gets fired. But people at Texas Tech, if you can't bring back the Mike Leach days, it's got to at least be similar. And I think people want 7, 8 wins a year out there, average. And then about once every 4 or 5 years, they want at least 10 wins. That's just being realistic. University of Texas, they want 10 to 12 wins every year. They want to be neck and neck with Oklahoma. And they are far from that. So we'll see, guys. We'll see if the situation gets better out there. Oklahoma State, I believe they got a big game this week. They blew out whatever team they played. Let's look up we'll see who Oklahoma State's got this week, actually. I totally forgot about them. Not in that way, Cowboys fans. Don't rip me a new one. I forgot who your big-time opponent was. So let's see who you guys got this week. Right now. All right. South Alabama. Okay. You guys are good. You guys are good till you play Boise. Now, that will be a fun game. So, check it out. This week is pretty much a laid-back week other than Oklahoma, really, because next week TCU plays Ohio State and then Oklahoma State plays Boise State. And then I believe West Virginia plays NC State. They play somebody else tough, and I think this week they play Youngstown State at home and get themselves a break. So, yeah, guys, it's fun. Just a recap. Kansas, same old. Tom Herman, still under fire in Austin. Oklahoma did what they were supposed to do. Oklahoma State did what they were supposed to do. Iowa State didn't get on the field. Kansas State did what they were supposed to do. They got a big game against Mississippi State. Obviously, TCU did what they were supposed to do. Baylor did what they were supposed to do. Let's get to Baylor real quick. They got the win over Abilene Christian, and it's actually funny, guys. I was listening to the radio station. I forget where it was at. It was somewhere in Texas, and they were comparing Baylor's offense to Tom Herman's offense, and they were saying, well, why don't they throw it over the middle? That's what Baylor does. First of all, this is the only problem I have a lot of times with sports talk radio shows is that some of these cats sit here and they draw plays and they don't understand things. See, when you throw the ball over the middle, you actually have more of a chance for interception. So if Tom Herman is trying to teach Sam Ehlinger a quick out or trying to teach him how to get a five-yard out real quick, that's the smartest thing. That's what made Peyton Manning so effective in the league when he was coached by Tony Dungy. Because when you throw over the middle, that's where all the zones are at. That's where all the coverages are. Like, that's where you have the hook to curl, the different zones in the middle hole and the deep halves and all this stuff. See, when you coach football, you look at it different than, oh, he's just wide open. You got to understand schemes and zones. That's why a lot of times you'll see somebody look like they wide open, and then boom, all of a sudden it's a pickoff. Because the zones are set up for people to have angles, and they're set up for athletes to jump, stretch, and make plays on balls when it doesn't look like they can. So actually throwing over the middle would actually be more dangerous. Having him throw a quick five-yard out is actually the smartest thing, and that's probably the best thing for Sam Ehlinger's confidence, because then once they start to overload everybody to one side, then it's going to be game over, because now you're going to actually have a seam pass for a tight end down the middle. Now you're going to actually have a go route down the middle for the X, Y, or the Z receiver. So actually what he's teaching them makes sense, and Sam Ehlinger should be able to throw that. You guys got to understand West Virginia's philosophy. The reason they're so good, even in bad years, the reason why they still win 8-9 games is because they have so many plays that are designed to only get 4 yards. And if you get 4 yards every time, how many yards is that after three downs? So, and you're constantly rolling and you can't be stopped. So that's what people have to understand, is that some philosophies don't have to be perfect. Back in the day, what was it? I want 3 yards of carry, and then if I have to go for it on 4th and inches, I will if I run a great option. And then every once in a while, you're going to get 5 yards here, 6 yards there. You're going to get big gains here or there. But if you can just average 3 yards a game and then tire out defenses, then you dominated the game. That's why the option was so effective back in the day. Right now with the spread, if you can get a play that gets you 4 yards guaranteed, that's fine. And I'm really sick and tired of those daggone quick passes to the sideline where the receivers have the block, because I've been noticing those are getting blown up a lot lately. Those are not as effective as they used to be, where you used to be able to just throw a quick pass and they would get upfield. I've been seeing all weekend in the college football world people be getting lift off their shoes. And it actually aggravates me some of these damn penalties they're calling when these kids are trying to play defense. But that's for a different day, different time when it comes to Big 12 Nation. That's just going to frustrate me, so I'm going to stay off of that. Now, this week, I don't know. I guess all I really want to say is that we all expect Oklahoma to win. Around the country, the only other thing I can think that's going on is Paul Feinbaum still saying the same nonsense he said. That's why I got Big 12 Nation going. And we're just starting, so hopefully we keep growing, but I'm really tired of it. And when you guys can, we usually go every Monday morning, but we went Wednesday today, obviously because of the Labor Day and all those things. So we were just pushed behind. But, you know, that's really what it was. You know, we're not going to sit around and we don't sit around and bash women here, but we also don't sit around and act like women are victims. I remember this is my funny story for the day. I was listening to the radio, and they found high levels of something in this lady's husband. Dude was like 65 years old, and he just died. And then they called the lady in, and then she started breaking down crying. She's like, I'm not going to lie, I put a bunch of eye drops in my husband's water. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, damn, that's effed up. But the way they sell you stuff on Paul Feinbaum and ESPN is as if all women are innocent. All women are just great people, and it's just a bunch of dudes running around smacking them, beating them up, abusing them, and taking control of them for no reason. This type of stuff has been happening since the beginning of time. And they only tell one side of it. I tell you the side where this guy got kicked off the team, that guy kicked off the team, and then it comes to find out the girl made up a lie, but then the office of the president and the people who made these rules, who make money off of these athletes, nothing had to happen to them, but yet we want to fire a football coach because he wanted to wait and see what if the allegation was real or not. So this is the world we live in, guys. Great college football coming up. Great games going on. That's really about it. They got their top 10 out. Pissed me off. Or their top four. This is another thing that disgusts me. Why every time, guys, they have a top four, why do they have to have two SEC teams? It's like to me, it's almost like that. Should the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and the rest of the country separate and then just let the SEC have their own thing? Because to me, it's ridiculous that you still have two people. And I'm going to give you my top four. My top four is, and I'm not going to be traditional, I'm going to go Ohio State 1 now, 2, Alabama, 3, our boys at West Virginia, and 4, Clemson. You don't have to have, this makes me mad. They got to have Alabama in Georgia. No, bull crap. It's not fair. That's bull crap. There's other teams out here playing football, and we don't need to do six teams. We don't need to do none of that. We can simply do the team that finishes number one gets a bye week, and then we need one team from each Power Five conference, and that's the end of it. That's it. That's how it rolls. That's how the story unfolds. I really don't care about who gets upset and because Alabama lost one game. Oh well, Alabama can't lose one game. Just like everybody else can't lose one game. That's how it goes. So that's my top four, guys. Let me know what you think. I'll post this radio show to the page. Call in. That's the number up there. I'll start putting the link so we can listen live, and you can listen to it live at work. You can call in, list your concerns, talk about your head coaches, your players, whatever. But my top four, and this is what I want everybody to pick, my top four right now, Ohio State, Alabama 2, our West Virginia Mountaineers of the Big 12 3, and number 4, Clemson. I'm out, guys. Everybody have a good one. This has been Big 12 Nation. Peace.